We've rounded the turn and are headed for home. Time for hour three of the Sports Huddle. Send us your thoughts on Twitter at ESPN Radio Lex. Now, here's your host, Chris Cross, Mike Cameron, and Matthew Lawrence.
All right, we're back. It's hour number three. It's a Monday edition of the Huddle. We're here in studio. We're all here today. We're going to be over here for another hour. Cal will join us here in a little bit. Cammie Mattioli is on the line with us. She's been with us before. She works for Sporting News. She does a great job, and she also has been involved in this mock thing that they do for the listings.
Yeah, the mock selection.
Yeah, so we'll find out if she was kind to us here at Kentucky and what it's all about. Cammie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hi, Cammie.
Cammie, it's great to have you. And one of the first things I noticed that you wrote about this stuff is you right away, as soon as you left there, you said, well, there's no conspiracy going on here. It's too damn hard to do.
Absolutely. That was the biggest takeaway for me after going through 2 days of this process. Now, keep in mind, it took us about 18 hours over the course of 2 days. It takes the selection committee from the Wednesday before Selection Sunday, sometimes all the way up till 10 minutes before the CBS show to do all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into this process that people don't see. So going through the whole mock procedure was definitely very eye-opening.
Was this your first mock, Cammie?
Yes.
All right, so for the folks at home, just take them on the voyage with you in somewhere in a minute or two. Just what was it about? How do you do it? What impressed you the most? You already told us what your biggest takeaway was. What was it like to do it?
In some ways, it was exciting, but it was also kind of mind-numbing because you almost feel like you're in Groundhog Day doing the same thing over and over and over again. And what I mean by that is once you they gave us a list of all of the teams that auto-qualified, and it was randomized just for the sake of time. So then you have to select 36 at-large teams. And everything is done on a computer. They don't do it on a big board with the Velcro like they used to do back in the day. Everything's in a computer system, and everybody has three or four screens in front of them where you can pull up any kind of data you want. RPI, strength of schedule, head-to-head matchups, anything you want is available on those computers. And so you go through this process of saying, okay, well, these are eight teams that I think should be in consideration for at-large, and then everybody in the room votes. And then whoever gets eight or more votes from that process goes on into the sort of like in a holding pattern. And then you vote for four more teams who you think should be among the teams that are under consideration. And then you rank them. And then you go. So you keep going through this process over and over and over again. And each time you maybe only get two or three teams that everybody or at least eight people agree on. So that could take hours. And then when you get all the way down, especially for us this year, you get all the way down to teams like Valparaiso, teams like Cincinnati, where the schedules and the strength of schedules and the wins, you're looking at very, very minute details at that point because there's just not a lot of stuff to go on, I mean, that separates these teams once you get to that point of the process. So, I mean, that was a very quick overview of the 18 hours that we spent doing it.
Cammie, do you after having done this, I'm sure all of us sit and watch the selection show on Selection Sunday, and we feel bad for teams. Every year there are those teams that think they got robbed and they should be in the tournament. Do you have a greater appreciation for those teams now?
Absolutely. And I came in, I know I had a lot of questions about what had happened last year. You know, I went to Temple, so many people thought that Temple would be one of the teams that was in, and it went to, if I recall correctly, San Diego State, maybe. So, you know, I had, or maybe it was UCLA. I can't remember.
UCLA?
I think it was UCLA. So I had a lot of questions about that because, you know, it seemed like sitting back looking at that it was very obvious that one team was better than the other. But you have to remember that there's a human element to this. So it's not like the BCS championship used to be where they just spit out the computer data and it crunches a number and it's easy to say that the difference was 0.02 or whatever. These are 10 human beings in a room and every single one of them values something differently. So some people really put a lot of weight into the RPI. Some people use KenPom. Some people use strength of schedule. So everybody's valuing a different metric. So a lot of times you have to have discussions about things and it's so arbitrary, the amount of weight that every person puts on it, but you just kind of hope that the majority feels the same way. So So that is the one thing that I would keep in mind while you watch the selection show, is that it's not a computer saying that this is what is most important. It's 10 people all trying to come to some conclusion using different measures to get there.
Hmm. Talking with Cammy Mattioli of the Sporting News. Now, how long have you been covering college basketball in this way?
In my current role, this is my second season. Covering college basketball in general, this is my going into my fifth.
Yeah, because you're a kid. To be so powerful as you are,
you're old for a kid.
You're very, yeah, that's true. Good point. Now, I'm going to read you something here and tell, but you've been, you went to Temple, and one of the iconic Philadelphia basketball schools. You obviously have a love and a respect for college basketball. Then this year, Mikey and Chris and I have been watching it for decades. Listen to this. Last week, teams ranked in the AP top 25 went 27 and 23 for the week. Wow. And 16 of the 23 losses were to unranked opponents. I mean, it's insane this year.
It is insane. And I think going off the same thing, Jeff Eisenberg of Yahoo tweeted something, and I think there were only 7 of the top 25 teams that didn't lose last week.
Yeah.
Which, in any other year, I mean, that would never be the case.
No, it wouldn't be close. No.
Cammy, one more thing, too. Is it not true that these teams are set up to matchups are made in the selection process? For instance, we always think that Kentucky and Louisville are always kind of pitted against each other. So does that happen?
No. And what happens is, so when you go through the process, you put teams in order 1 through 68. And when you're doing the 1 through 68, you're comparing, okay, 1 versus 2. Does 2 deserve to be better than 1? And you do that, and then once you agree if they stay there or they move up, then you go, okay, is three better than two? Or so you do that 1 through 68. And that's what I'm saying. You're getting down to teams where you literally, maybe like a player scored 2 more points in one game, and you're like, okay, well, maybe we give it to them. Like, what are you basing this off of at a certain point? So after you do all that, okay, then you have what's called your composite seed list, 1 through 68, everybody ranked. And then you just go and fill it in. So you're going, okay, the computer pulls up a system, and on the screen it will say, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, the seeds and the regions. And then each one you click on, say we had Oklahoma number 1. We click on Oklahoma, and it will pull up under each region how many miles it is to that site. And we came into a thing where it was like, okay, well, we can either send Oklahoma, who's number 1 overall, to Louisville because it's closer, or 30 miles away, we could send them to Chicago. So we said, okay, well, we're going to send them to Chicago because it's easier to get to Chicago than it is to get to Louisville. And also, it's in the same time zone. So there's a lot of considerations
Holy
that go
cow.
Into it. Now, if we had sent Oklahoma to Louisville, that sets up a whole totally different thing. And so then you get into the point where there are teams that can't play other teams. So we had Butler and Temple in a play-in game in Dayton. Well, you can't have that because Butler and Temple already played in Puerto Rico earlier this season.
Oh.
So then we have to go back and rearrange everything. So by the time you do that and you go through, I think there's 8 or 9 different contingencies or different rules that you have to abide by. By the time you do all that, you've switched teams around 4, 5, 6 times. You can't even remember where you had them, let alone who they might face in, like, the Elite Eight. So I definitely don't believe that there's any way that you could possibly sit there and do that. Even if you had like a week and a half to do just that part alone, I don't think you could still predict who was going to match up with who.
How are you able to speak coherently even now after all this?
A lot of glasses of wine.
Oh, okay.
Now, Cammy, have you ever considered the possibility that this was all just a giant con, and they had this big computer in the back room, and after you went through all this crap, they went back there and punched the button and said, this is where they're going? No?
I mean, I guess.
I mean, it's too complicated. I mean, what happens to all of our conspiracy theories? Everything goes down the tubes.
I know, it would give me nothing to write about if I couldn't write about conspiracy theories, but honestly, maybe they do. I didn't see it when I was there. I think it would be kind of hard to hide, but, yeah. You know, who knows? I don't know. I can't pretend to know everything.
Well, it's so crazy that we never even have a glimpse of them going through all this stuff. I mean, I believe every single word everybody said, but it's kind of mind-shattering to people like me who think the whole thing is just rigged in some way.
You know, they have the ability now, Cammy, to put this all online so people could follow it as it all transpires. That may be helpful to people or who really follow it.
So what I did when I was there, actually, everything that we went through was on the record, so we could talk about it, we could tweet about it. I actually periscoped 46 minutes of the process where we were sending teams to different locations and then being like, oh, no, we can't do that because these teams already met, or that's too many Big Ten teams, or whatever it was, so people could see the process. And I got a lot of tweets about how informative that was. And I think maybe eventually there will be some value in, you know, maybe they show a live look into the room like they do. I mean, now we've got coaches on the bench getting interviewed in the middle of the game. So who knows? Maybe that's next. But I think the actual process of doing it is so mind-numbingly boring that people would be interested to see it maybe one time and watch 2 or 3 minutes of it and then be like, okay, I think I'm done. I've seen enough.
Do you know what they get paid for doing that, the selection committee?
I don't. I actually do not know.
Because
it is a massive time commitment. So not only are they just there for selection week, but so they meet, they have a conference call every week where every representative that's on that, and there are 10 of them, every representative is in charge, except for the chair, for knowing 3 or 4 different conferences, everything in that conference, whether there's a key player that's injured, whether this team has been on a 7-game win streak, everything you could possibly want to know about each conference, all the way down to like the SoCon or the MEAC or these very small conferences. And they go on a conference call and they say, okay, well, how would we seed teams this week? Does this team rise? Does this team fall? And they do that every week throughout the season to build up to this week where they all sit down in a conference room and do this for hours and hours.
Now, Cammy, didn't you also write that they even take into consideration if they had a tough trip?
Yes.
Wow.
So we talked about that. Who was it? I feel like it was, can't remember what team it was, maybe Tulsa. Tulsa was trying to fly to Philadelphia. I think it was to play Temple. And they had mechanical issues with their plane. They took off. They were like a half hour into their flight. They had to turn around and go back to Tulsa. They landed. They couldn't get another flight out until the next day. And so somebody asked, you know, how much consideration does the committee give to that? Because obviously that's an extenuating circumstance. They don't have a lot of control over that. And there may not have been enough time for them to go through their normal pregame warm up and all that stuff. And they said, well, you know, that's something that we do consider. And they said that they also considered talking about games where head coaches were absent. So, like, it's, for example, the example they used was Syracuse. So they will take into account, even though they suspended Jim Boeheim, that Jim Boeheim was gone for 9 games and what Syracuse's record was in those 9 games.
Wow. So
that may seem counterintuitive, but that's what they said.
So if Kentucky ended up losing to South Carolina Saturday because Cal was only on the bench for 2.5 minutes, they would have taken that into consideration.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how much consideration.
Yeah.
There wasn't exactly an answer to that, but it is something they think about.
Well, so conversely, if I can use that word, will they give more weight to the fact that Kentucky beat South Carolina by 27 points without Cal on the bench? They should be moved up a seed line.
So margin of victory is not really something that many committee members value.
Oh.
I know that seems kind of weird, but a lot of the statistics that they use to look at things, I think Ken Pom doesn't, Ken Pom and KPI don't take into account value or
margin.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, I mean, some do, some value that, some do. It definitely comes up in discussions. But it's not something that they say, okay, well, this team deserves to move up because they beat this team by 27 points. That's not a discussion that I think goes on very often.
It would be
more about how that's reflected in the metrics. So, like, was this a really bad win or was this a really bad loss? So, like, for example, to use Kentucky as an example, their worst loss was actually not Tennessee. It was Auburn.
Right.
Auburn was 144 in the RPI. Tennessee was about like 129, I think. So, I mean, if you looked at that, you would say, okay, well, they lost Tennessee by a lot. I mean, that you would think that would be their worst loss, but that's not necessarily how it works out in their ranking.
Okay. Now, here's a question that I've always had, and I want to know just quickly how this last, did they really put a lot of weight on, like, the last 10 games before?
No.
Okay. See,
so that's actually not something that they consider as a metric at all.
Huh.
Now, maybe it's in a discussion where they say, okay, well, let's look at some of the teams Kentucky beat because they're X and X in their last 10 games.
Right.
But basically, David Warlock, who runs the show for this thing and has done so for, I don't know, a decade now, he said, you know, that's not something that people use as a metric. That's not something that they can definitively say, okay, Kentucky deserves to be a four seed because in the last 10 games of the season, they were 9-1. So that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because they tell us that it does.
Yeah.
I mean, not the committee, but you hear the basketball commentators all the time.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Yeah, apparently not.
Well, I mean, some of them may have gone through the process. You have to think about, so obviously it does matter in a certain sense because you're looking at an overall record. When you're going head-to-head, you're looking at an overall record. You're looking at how many teams they've beaten in the, you know, the RPI, top 10, top 25, top 100. Pretty much after that, anything after like RPI 150 is what you would consider a bad loss. So you are looking at record against those types of teams. So in a certain sense, record does matter, but I don't know that it matters to be over a span of time. It's more about what types of teams are you beating than how often are you beating them. Although that does matter too. So like I said, this goes back to the human element. There are so many different things to look at. How you assign value to each of them is sort of done on an individual basis. I can tell you they definitely will talk about, well, okay, let's look at Kentucky because they're 9-1 in the last 10 or whatever it may be. But that leads to another discussion on a different level.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you got something out of this. I think by all accounts, you're happy you went.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a great experience. We got some really good FaceTime. You know, a couple of the actual committee members there were there. So I was actually assigned to be the chairperson. So I was Joe Castiglione at Oklahoma, and he was actually in the room for most of it. And Mark Hollis from Michigan State, the athletic director, he was there. So, you know, a couple people were there to observe the process, and it almost in some ways seemed like we were helping them either figure out their decision or what they didn't want to do. I'm not sure which one it was exactly, but, you know, it was a great experience. If you ever get the opportunity, I would suggest you do it because it really opens your mind to a lot of things that you thought you had a very definitive opinion about.
All right, quickly, we got just a couple more minutes with you. Obviously, a big win on Saturday for the Cats. They've moved up in the ratings, moved up some. How do you think the Cats have kind of turned the thing around?
Well, I mean, at 19-6, I don't know if many people, I think a lot of people hoped that they would be 19-6, at least, you know, after that bad stretch in the middle of the season. But I thought what was most telling was after the game and you know, Cal got ejected after the first 2.5 minutes or whatever it was, he came out and said, quote, "They've proven that they don't need me. I love it." And I think that has been the turning point where, you know, maybe that ejection was intentional, sort of just to prove a point. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I think that was really important for him to come out and say that because he's been trying to establish this all season, and it seems like things are just starting to click now. I mean, you've got, and I think a lot of that too is Tyler Ulis being able to translate sort of what Cal's expectations are to some of the younger guys. I mean, he's got 21 points, 8.8 assists, and 2.4 steals in the last 5 games. That's his average. I mean, and he's playing almost the entire game for these guys. So that's really important, and you really need that in a point guard. I don't think there are many guys on that same level as he is at this point in the season. In terms of across the board.
No, I understand. Cammie, you're terrific. Thank you so much
for
being
with us. You're the best, Cammie.
She is. You're just
thanks, guys.
It's great, and we love reading you. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Cammie.
Bye, Cammie. Cammie Mattioli, who's with Sporting News, a great writer, a good friend of yours.
And she is. She's just wonderful. And you can follow her on Twitter at KMATTIO. And she knows her stuff, boy. She's really good. Well, you don't get to be a basketball writer at Sporting News if you're not really good. And she is.
Check it out. She's at Sporting News. You can read her every single day. And hold on a second. I got a call. Excuse me. And tell you about the good folks over at Body Shapes MD. You can reach them on the phone at 410-6100, 410-6100. And they have a program on now called the 25 Again program. And you can and will, if you get involved with this, feel like you're 25 again. All the things that you are able to do when you didn't have a body fat, when you didn't have the tummy, when you were able to go out at 9 o'clock instead of go to bed at 9 o'clock, when you were the healthy you that could satisfy all your girlfriends and really do things easy that are so hard for you to do now. That's what this program is all about. And they are totally safe place to be. They're the nicest people in the world. And when you join there, when you become a member there, it truly can change your life, both the men and the women. 410-6100. If you want to check it online, you can check them at bodyshapesmd.com. Bodyshapesmd.com. If you want to lose weight, if it's anything that your wife's got going on, believe me, they can help you over there. It's a special place. 410-6100. We'll be back to broadcast from there every single month this year. So check them out. Body Shapes MD. It's Ted and Lisa telling Chris Cross said to come over here.
You're locked in to the Sports Huddle on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event going on now at MLS Power Sports, and you have choices. Get a new 2015 Wildcat as low as $189 a month for 60 months, or receive a rebate up to $1,100 depending on model. Or how about a factory warranty for up to 4 years? The fun is up to you during the Four Wheels More Deals Winter Sales event at MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Stop in today and don't miss the best deals on the entire lineup of Arctic Cats, ATVs, and side-by-sides.
Only ride an ATV that's right for your age. Supervised riders younger than 16. Each rider must wear a seatbelt on ROVs, approved helmet, eye protection, and protective clothing. We recommend that all ROV operators have a valid driver's license and all riders take a training course. Read and understand the owner's manual before operation. For safety or training information, see your dealer. Arctic Cat, share our passion.
Ride victoriously. Ride rough, ride tough. MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
You're looking good today.
I'm feeling great.
New haircut?
Nope.
Outfit?
Wrong.
Mani-pedi?
Eh.
I give up. What's new?
I joined Suntan City.
Ah, your skin is gorgeous.
I owe it all to my personal Suntan City consultant.
They gave you a consultant?
Mm-hmm. And she worked up a tan plan for exactly the color I want.
Wow, must cost a fortune.
Guess again. At Suntan City, you pay one low price for expertise, top-notch equipment, and great member benefits.
Where do I sign up?
That's another plus. You can sign up, check in, even manage your account online. No other salon offers all that.
I'm convinced. Suntan City, I'll have what she's having.
Suntan City memberships start as low as $14.99 a month. For incredible year-round benefits, convenience, and expert tanning at one low price, visit Suntan City today. Find your nearest salon location at suntancity.com. Suntan City, let yourself shine.
Okay, Simon, what are you wearing right now?
Nothing.
That's right. And what do people normally wear?
Clothes.
Exactly. So now Mommy's going to teach you how to dress yourself. Clothes keep us warm, they look good, and if we go out without them, the neighbors will talk. So it's important to know how to get dressed. Here's how it's done. Underwear always comes first, name tag at the back, then pants, then shirt. Get the first button in the right hole, or you have to start all over. If you're wearing a tie, it goes over, round, round, through, and pull tight. Tuck your shirt into your pants and zip up your fly. Socks go in first, then shoes, right on right, left on left. With shoelaces, just take the ends, cross them over, switch the loops. The rabbit goes down the hole, pull tight, and you're left with bunny ears.
I love bunnies.
Good to know. Now remember, spots don't go with stripes, socks don't go with sandals, and if you've tucked in your shirt, wear a belt. Got it? Why are your pants on your head?
Most parenting is hard to do in just 2 minutes. But spending just 2 minutes twice a day making sure they brush their teeth is easier and could help save them from a lifetime of tooth pain. For fun 2 minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2men2x.org. That's 2men2x.org. A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ag Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't let the winter chill get you down. Get to Aurora and feel the heat in your new hot tub or swim spa. Shop Central Kentucky's largest selection of in-stock hot tubs starting at $34.95 and save thousands on in-stock swim spas. Get ready to feel the heat. Hurry into Aurora today. Don't let the winter chill get you down. Start planning for warmer weather with family and friends. For a limited time, you can get a 24-foot above-ground pool package installed for under $3,000. Be ready for warmer weather. Hurry in today to Aurora, 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington.
Now, back to more of the Sports Huddle on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Here's Chris, Mike, and Matthew.
Okay, we're back on a Monday edition of the Huddle. On the line with us now is Liam Boland-Pett, who's with the SB Nation. He's the NBA writer for those guys. Great to have him on the air with us tonight. Hi, Liam. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Hi, Liam.
Hi, Liam.
Well, Liam, it's a great time for us. We love talking about the NBA. We're now moved into the second half, if you will, of this mythical second half anyway. I think we're 55 games in before this thing played. But let's start with that. All-Star weekend is always fun. All-Star game itself, I don't know about 196 to 173, what that stuff is all about. But I don't even like the NBA All-Star game, and I am a huge NBA fan. Just, it's too much for me.
Yeah, I mean, well, defense is certainly not on display, but it is fun to watch the watch a second dunk contest, I guess, with some fun passes and alley-oops in there mixed in with. And watching Russell Westbrook is always a pleasure, play all out at all times, even if it is the All-Star game.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, being an old guy, there was a time that it was, I don't know if they agreed upon it among themselves, but generally what the All-Star game was, three quarters of exhibition and fun, and then they kind of settle down and play their game in the fourth quarter. And they just don't do that anymore. It's just all fun times from beginning to end.
Yeah, I don't think it helps that the West shot lights out in the third quarter and built up, you know, a 17-point lead in that quarter at one point. Might have been a little more than that even, but that kind of put a damper on them actually battening down the hatches and playing some defense and actually playing some basketball in the fourth quarter. But aside from that, yeah, I mean, it was fun to watch, and the dunk contest and the big men dominating the skills competition was pretty fun.
Yeah, I like all of that, and that part of the All-Star game is fun. Kobe Bryant, of course, stands out, this being his last one. He got a lot of, praise. He got a lot of Twilight, got their own films on him, everything going on this weekend. Kobe, good way to end your career.
Oh, certainly. I mean, if you're an 18-time All-Star, you do deserve not one but two montages before the All-Star game, and Magic Johnson sending you off with some kind words. And, yeah, he didn't play a great game. I think he ended up with 11 points. But he's still, I mean, a four-time MVP of that event. He's always shown up for the All-Star game, so it was nice that he was able to have some fun. And there was that image of LeBron batting down and faking up playing defense with him that was pretty spectacular and fun.
Yeah, that was fun. He passed on the whole thing, though, but it was fun. Karl-Anthony Towns is a guy that's obviously a big hero around here. Boy, what a couple of years we had with Davis, and then along comes Karl-Anthony Towns, and we all knew that he would be good. My gosh, he's just breaking out into a great career, just very much like a Davis did.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some talks with some people, and, you know, one of the main games everyone likes to play is who would you start your franchise around?
Right.
And the fact that Karl-Anthony Towns is already being mentioned in the same sentence as Anthony Davis might be a little premature, but, I mean, actually not, because the way he's playing this went just all season long. It's been spectacular. I mean, 17 points, 10 rebounds a game as a rookie is spectacular, even if the Timberwolves are struggling a little bit.
You mentioned the skills competition and the slam dunk. Do you think that some of these stunts that they're starting to do in the slam dunk contest might be start to get dangerous? If I was an owner, I would worry about some of these.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the game, though. I mean, it's a stunt just to go to practice. Some guys get injured in practice, and it is fun for the fans, and it is, at the end of the day, an entertainment for the fans, and we want to see great basketball, and we want to see amazing things, and those guys were doing amazing things, and I think it was fun, and being on a Kentucky radio station right now, it was fun that they had three big men. Three of the big men doing the skills competition were Kentucky guys. You know, you had DeMarcus and Carl Anthony and Anthony Davis. It was just, those guys are fun to watch when they're doing fun things like that and able to go with the little guys in the skills competition.
I will say, even though Zach, he's great, but he shouldn't have won the dunk contest. Alex Gordon, I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, I know guys get up. I was, my jaw was hanging down when I saw how high he got off the ground. It was unbelievable.
No, I mean, I think I saw one stat that the mascot with his little antennas or whatever they were was about 6 feet 9 inches, and he jumped right over him.
It's unbelievable.
You know, and you can see why the NBA is what it is. The skill level, even as of 10, 12 years ago, it's not the same. It's everything. The guy who gets 6, 7, 8 minutes is a better athlete than a guy was 10 years ago who started. It's a different league.
Oh, yeah. The depth of the league is just remarkable. I mean, yeah, you guys, there's rookies in the D League now who are incredible. I mean, the Kentucky guy, Andrew Harrison, he's doing extremely well in the D League, and he's not even in the league right now, and it's just, the talent level in the NBA is at an unbelievable high right now. It's great.
It's about to go into the second half of the season. Again, a little mythical after the All-Star game, but still, what do you like? Who do you like? Who's a big surprise for you this year? Are there any surprises?
I mean, I guess it is a surprise how well Golden State is playing. I think everybody, myself included, thought they would be good again and be one of the teams to beat. But as of right now, it's just the way they blew out the biggest games they've had with the Spurs and the Cavs. It's just, it's really tough to see anybody beating them over seven games. I can see it happening once or twice, but that offense just doesn't ever slow. And I guess the Cavs right now are trying to make some moves to possibly pick up some pieces, but at this point, I just don't see anybody able to hang with them. Not to say that, you know, the Spurs or the Cavs won't improve. The Cavs especially getting back Kyrie, I think they really could turn things around and turn into that team, and they have the pleasure of going through the Eastern Conference pretty unchallenged. So I think they might be able to be ready, but at this point, I just don't see anybody hanging with Golden State over seven games.
And they've only got to go 25-5 to match the great Bulls teams with the 72 wins. That's, you know, I know a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but really for those guys, it's not that big a deal. 25-5, they can do that. They can do that every day.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think, barring injuries, which is always a possibility, as we were just saying, with even like the stunts and practice stuff like that, but barring injuries, I do see them winning, going 25-5 the rest of the way and breaking that record. I mean, Michael Jordan even told Klay Thompson to go for it. It's nice to have the greatest bidding when you're going after his record. But I really see them going 73-3 and beating the Spurs or the Thunder, and then the Cavs is no easy task, but it's definitely a possibility. And this could be one of the greatest teams of all time.
You know, we talk about our guy here, Tyler Ulis, being such a great player, and he is, and it's fun to watch him here in this town. I don't know, with all of them, Michael, Shaq, all the big guys, everybody, that I'm 69 years old, including I go back to the 60s and born and raised in Providence, Rhode Island, and I watch all those Celtics team. Steph Curry is as good and fun a player as I've ever seen play in my whole life. You know, he doesn't even look like he should be that good a player, and he's unbelievable.
No, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that fans are so attracted to him, because I'm a 5'9" white kid from Michigan, and I see him doing that. I'm like, oh, well, I guess it's not that unfeasible for me to do something like that. I think we can connect ourselves to that. And I mean, he's incredible. And he obviously is 6'3" and just a much bigger person than us. But compared to all those NBA big, big guys, it just looks like you could possibly hang with him.
And he doesn't have that defined muscle. He takes these weird shots and all of a sudden they're going in. It's just, I go out of my way, as late as it is, to watch that guy anytime I can. And for me, that's quite a compliment, because he's an unbelievable player. That whole team, as you mentioned, I don't see anybody beating him anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take – I honestly do think the Cavs, their best chance was to slow it down and toughen out with them, and it seems like they are moving more towards a small ball game, and I just don't see any team being able to run up and down the court, especially over a seven-game series. Their motor never stops.
As we get down to a three minutes here to spend with you, I want to just stay with them for a moment. Kevin Love looking for a home there. they're saying they're not shopping him. Everybody in the league seems to think they are, but they want a big player back for him. I don't know that that happens. I don't know if you got to move Kevin Love to get better. What do you got to get back?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was that Carmelo Anthony trade that everyone shut down, which I don't think that it would have been a great call. And I think the Cavs, they have done a better job working Kevin Love into their system this year. And already just with Tyronn Lue there, and yeah, that might have been a hasty decision to get rid of Blatt, but already with him there, they've done a really good job of just putting him out on the wing more, and I think they're doing a better job of getting him involved. And yeah, it seems like he is on the trading block with all these teams seeming to believe so too. But at this point, I think it might be wiser for them to stick out this year and really see with Tyronn Lue as the coach and really see if they can do it. And yeah, maybe if they fall short in the finals again, then some changes are necessary. But Love didn't even get a chance to do this in the finals last year. And with Kyrie Irving and Love both kind of hinting that they would have won the title if they were healthy, I think we all deserve to see if that's actually the case.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for the second half. Liam, thanks so much for being with us. We read you every day. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Liam.
Liam Bolin Pett. It's P-E-T-T is his last name. He's with SB Nation. He's their NBA writer. And he does a terrific job. And this is getting everybody's attention now. It's the NBA. You know, until football's over, Super Bowl's over.
Yep.
They're on weekend television. They're all over the place. It's really their time to shine from now till June. And it's starting to heat up in the league. No doubt about that. We're going to have to get out of here. We got a lot of stuff coming this week, so stick around. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.